Joining us to talk about it, the Senior Vice President of Baseball Ops and General Manager of the Blue Jays, Alex Anthopoulos. Alex, how are you?
Good.
This scenario is, as I said off the top, not surprising. Nonetheless, there are those who still are not comfortable with how this unfolded. Give me a very quick chronology, if you will, as to what happened over the last, say, week or 10 days that led us to this decision.
Sure. After the season ended on a Wednesday, just before Canadian Thanksgiving weekend, decided, you know, before we jumped into the off season and going through everything and finalizing staff and some things with the 40-man roster and so on, would really take the weekend. Obviously, it was a grind the last 2 months of the season to spend some time with the family and then, you know, connect with John the following week after the holiday and then start to go through everything. So did that, got with John, I think it was the Monday, perhaps, and started to just go through everything with the team. And then, you know, finally we got to talking about just with Boston and the distractions and the rumors and all that. And as we talked about it, I told them, one, they hadn't called. And, you know, I asked him specifically, you know, is it something he wanted to pursue and so on. And he explained to me that that's, you know, if it did come about, it was, you know, the one job that was a dream job for him, and it's the one job he would want to pursue and go after. But at the same time, he also understood that, you know, we weren't going to wait around for the Boston Red Sox with their offseason and what they were doing. So we both agreed and pretty much said, look, we'll give this another day or two, but if we don't get any phone calls, we're going to move forward and finalize our staff and go forward with that. So a few days later, John Henry, one of the owners of the Red Sox, called Paul. And from there, they started to discuss. They asked about John and having a trade set up. And from that point, it took, I don't know, 8 or 9 days to finally get it done. Here we are today.
Did Beeston mandate to you that this deal should be done?
No, Paul doesn't. I mean, you know Paul. He doesn't mandate. I mean, we talked about it at length. We talked about all kinds of things at length. And obviously, we talked to our ownership as well. But I think what it came down to, and I've heard all kinds of opinions, and I know you know no one's ever going to completely agree with this. There's split camp. I've heard some people say, well, you know, don't send him. You can let him sit out. I've read some things that people say we can let him go and so on. But I think what it came down to is what's the right thing for the Toronto Blue Jays to do. He had a year left on his contract. You know, I don't know what would have happened next year. I don't know what would there have been an extension. How would the team have performed? All those things. But with the unknown and the uncertainty and the fact that this is one opportunity he wanted to pursue, if there was a way that we could get what we felt was fair value under the circumstances, we were going to pursue it if we can get it done. If not, we weren't going to make the trade.
Two questions. One, was there any chance that John Farrell was not going to be the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays if he wanted to stay?
Was not going to be
the, no. Is there any chance you were going to fire him?
No. He was, I mean, I think I said that at the end of season press conference. I did not go into the offseason with any thoughts of a managerial search or changes and so on. So
okay.
It was strictly a matter of being able to step away and working on the roster. I mean, we have plenty of work to do on the roster with the rotation and so on, and this did not enter into my mind at all.
Do you believe the Boston Red Sox tampered with John Farrell?
No, and I know that's been written as well, and obviously stories were out there and so on, but I do not believe the Boston Red Sox directly tampered with John Farrell, no.
With Alex Anthopoulos, the Blue Jays Senior VP and General Manager, why should I care what John Farrell wants? Why should I care if John Farrell wants to be the manager of the Boston Red Sox? He's under contract to the Toronto Blue Jays. He has a commitment to the Toronto Blue Jays. He made that out of his own free will. You had no intention of dismissing him, so you're at least going to give him one more year. Why turn the Blue Jay world upside down because John Farrell wants this job?
Well, very fair. Completely fair point. I guess ultimately, if that's where he wants to be and that's the one opportunity that he really wanted to pursue, and I understand what you're saying. He made a commitment. He signed a contract. All that stuff is fair. But if you know going in, that's where he wants to be. That's the job he wants to pursue, and that's where he wants to be. And you don't know what's going to happen a year from now. I mean, I think it makes all the sense in the world of, well, let's see if we could work something out. It's probably best for both parties at that point. So,
well, but there's another way to look at it, Alex, and that is, John, you don't want to be the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays. You want to be a manager of the Boston Red Sox. Tell you what, now you don't have either. We'll wait until after the Red Sox hire somebody else, and then we'll fire you. Then you get neither.
Sure, that is a scenario, but I guess I would turn it around and ask you, how does that benefit the Toronto Blue Jays?
Image and reputation.
Sure, and you know that's fair too. And I can conversely, I don't. I mean that's to be debated. Image, reputation, and so on. Doing that, waiting. You know, I don't know from a reputational standpoint. Is that the way we want to conduct ourselves as an organization? Is that the way we want to treat someone, right or wrong? And that could be debated. But the Toronto Blue Jays, in my mind, if ultimately this was going to happen, if you're taking that tack that he's not going to be here in 2013, we're better off not delaying it, not waiting. Like you're saying, you may have had to drag it another 2 weeks. There's an impact to the offseason. We don't get a player back. Everything's delayed just for the point of spite or vindication or whatnot. That's not – those would be personal agendas, and that's not, in my mind, what would be right for the organization. I understand that. I'm sure there's a group of – there may be a lot of people, and you're certainly one of them, that take that stance, and it's fair. It's an opinion, but in my opinion, it's not the right way to go.
There are also those who say, tell them what you want. If they won't meet your demands, then say – then we're this conversation is over. And in connection with that, some disappointment, and I'm sure you've heard it, that you couldn't get more.
Sure. I think that's fair too. I mean, I know there was all kinds of names thrown about that we should have got so many players and so on. And I think ultimately John did have a year left on his contract. And I think the overriding factor in this is that if ultimately this was not where he wanted to be and he wanted to be in Boston, it didn't make any sense for us to not go down the path and try to pursue it, but not at all costs and take whatever we could. I know everyone can debate Mike Avilas and his value and what we should have gotten, and that's just life and sports. But you know, we got what we believe is going to be a valuable player. He's not an all-star player. Again, he could be an everyday second baseman, could be a utility player, but he's a valuable big league player, one way or the other, any way you want to dissect it. So from that standpoint, if there ultimately was going to be a change down the road, and if it was going down that path, and we can get a player back and expedite the process, that's probably the way to go, and that's ultimately what we did.
Did you negotiate the trade? Did Paul negotiate the trade, or some combination of you, Beeston, John Henry, and Ben Sherrington?
I'd say it's a combination. I'd say the bulk of it, of all the discussions and dialogue, were done at the ownership level. So that would be obviously, you know, Paul represents our ownership, and you know, he dealt with at one point John Henry, dealt with Tom Werner at another point, dealt with Larry Lucchino at some other points. You know, I had some conversations with Ben, but not too many. The bulk of the negotiations were done at the ownership stage of it.
So are you comfortable with that? That it sounds like, from what you're saying, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, that this was basically a Beeston negotiated deal that you had to, you were to sign off on, or in some ways that this wasn't your trade?
No, we do all this stuff collectively. I mean, it's so unique. I mean, you normally don't trade employees, and I don't expect to ever have to go down this path again. So this is not a player transaction. It's not a GM to GM transaction. There's a lot more involved in this. So I think it's done collectively as a group. It's not like I'm not involved in the process or I don't have a voice in the process. But just like anything else, even when any transactions that I make, obviously I run them by Paul. I don't just, you know, do what I want to do and not involve ownership, not involve Paul. So it was done collectively, I would say. But the bulk of the conversations were from really handled at an ownership standpoint.
What's your assessment of John Farrell as a manager?
You know, I think I think it was incomplete, especially just with this past year, with everybody being hurt, 3/5 of the rotation, obviously a lot of the position players. And that's not, I know it comes across as an excuse, but I just don't, if he had managed here 5-6 years, there's a lot to take from it. So, you know, last year we finished 500. Did, you know, this past year with the injuries and everything else, and even for 4 months of the season, we were 2 games out of one of the wild card spots, and the last 2 months, everything just completely fell off the rails. So I just think it is incomplete in a lot of ways, and there wasn't enough time to get a true evaluation. And I know we can take what we have, we can take the two years and dissect it, but I just think we would have needed more time to truly have an evaluation.
If John Farrell had been on a 2-year contract, would you have re-upped him?
Oh, I don't even. I mean, I've never even thought about it that way. I plan on John Farrell being our manager for 2013, so I would say yes.
A lot of people, Alex, had questions about the way this team played and about the discipline of your ball club. And this is no surprise to you. You've read it, you've heard it, all this sorts of stuff, from the Escobar affair to everything. Did you and John Farrell see eye to eye on matters of discipline within this ball club?
We did, and that doesn't mean that obviously when you don't win games and you lose, especially we lost a lot the last 2 months, it shouldn't be a good environment. It shouldn't be a fun environment. And that's normally what happens. And you guys have been around sports enough times in clubhouses to see the environments when you win and when you lose, and it's not fun when you lose. It wears on everybody. It grates on everybody. So I think a lot of what was written was almost all of it, I would say, was completely false. And, John and I work well together. But, again, it's just like anything else. Paul and I, there's times we don't agree on things. John and I didn't agree on things. But not once did we ever have a blow-up or an argument or anything like that at all. All that stuff got, completely overblown. And, again, I think potentially everyone's throwing things out there the way they would do sometimes
sure.
in trade talks to put things off the rails a little bit.
Well, I think people are trying to understand. And I think you'll acknowledge
that. I think
that's
the point.
Yeah, that we're all left a little bit kind of confused by this whole thing. And I mean, to that end, if we're confused, I assume the fans are confused. And how worried are you that there's a message out there to the fans that is not a positive one about a ball club that they otherwise want to support?
I think when you don't win, you don't expect there to be positive news. And ultimately it's, I can sit here and do as many radio interviews as possible and so on, but it's ultimately what we're going to do and what I'm going to do. So it is really what you do rather than what you say. And, the results speak for themselves. And, I'm not going to be one to come out and give up a long list of excuses and try to convince everybody. I think, the proof will be in the pudding, and that's going forward. We did not have a good season. We can come up with a list of reasons why those things occurred, and obviously we've done that, but that's not what everybody wants to hear, and that's not acceptable. Everybody wants to win, and that's really our goal and our focus right now is to turn that around and put wins on the table going forward and to be that playoff team and that World Series contender. So, from that standpoint, I don't expect the fans to be pleased. If they are pleased with the 73-win team, something's wrong. But the fact that they're that passionate about it, probably more than they've ever been, shows that there's a real interest level in this team and it continues to grow. And it's on us as a front office and me as a general manager to have this thing turned around.
What are you looking for in a new manager or specifically – Would you be happy to get another manager like John Farrell, or is there a quality out there that you think he didn't have that you would like to see in the next manager of the Toronto Blue Jays?
Oh, it's so hard to answer that because you're dealing with human beings and there's no template for a manager and you look at even all the different managers in this organization. And I was just on the phone with the GM today and he's still GM, he's been there a long time and. He had a bunch of different personalities and so on, and I think you're looking for the right fit at the right time. So I don't know that our team isn't the same as it was 2 years ago, and I think we all evolve and we all change. So I don't know that there's specific characteristics. I mean, there's certain things that every manager needs to have, but you always need guys that are going to connect with players. That's certainly an important part of it. You need to align from a philosophy standpoint with the front office. And the remaining stuff, I mean, that stuff probably in the middle, but those are probably the two main areas, connecting with the players and aligning with the front office and management in terms of, where we want to take this team.
With Alex Anthopoulos. If I'm you, the minute John Farrell comes to me and says, I want to go to Boston, and you make the decision to see if that might be evolve, I start the process of thinking about, okay, who do I get to replace this guy? Do you have three names?
Three names? No, really, today is the day I really, obviously I've thought about it the last few days while the negotiations were going on, but it was really up in the air. We didn't know if it was going to get done or not, but today I've really spent quite a bit of time on it, and it's going to be a significantly smaller list than it was the last time, but three names. And I don't know that I'm there yet. I'm trying to make sure that we really get a small list and do as much background work. And obviously the fact that we went through this 2 years ago, we already have a lot of background on some of these candidates. So I'm not there yet, but I expect soon to have a small group of names and go through the interview process and try to get it done fast.
Does experience matter given you're coming off a relationship with a manager who had none coming in?
I think experience is always part of it. But again, you don't just want to get experience for the sake of getting experience. And you look at the Red Sox, they just, a guy like Valentine had a ton of experience. Doesn't mean it's going to be the right fit. So, obviously there's a ton of examples of guys with experience. So it's more about the fit. Experience is always a good thing, but I wouldn't say it's a must.
If a player came to you tomorrow, an existing player on your roster, and said, I want to play for the Los Angeles Dodgers, How do you deal with that in light of what just happened with Farrell?
That's a, you know what? Well, we had that actually with Scott Rolen years ago, where he came to management and his family and so on. I think it's the same thing. I think he said, you know what? If you don't want to be here, we'll look to see if we can work something out in trade. You understand that if we can't work something out in trade, you won't be going anywhere. And players always understand that. So that happens in sports all the time. But I think players also realize that you're not just going to give players away.
So if you hadn't consummated what you consider was a viable deal with the Boston Red Sox, you would not have allowed John Farrell to go to Boston.
Correct. But at the same time, I do believe knowing how John felt about that opportunity and obviously the fact that Boston wanted him, I felt that ultimately we were most likely going to come to a conclusion. It made too much sense for it to get done.
Well, wait a second. Are you then saying that if Boston hadn't offered you anything in exchange for Farrell or
no,
something
we don't get
that
a deal
was...
done. Yeah, but that goes without saying. I don't think Boston would... It just wouldn't make sense for them to not offer us anything for him. Ultimately, he was their pick. He's the guy that they wanted. I think ultimately the deal was going to get done. It wouldn't make any sense if they want him and he's the right pick for them. It wouldn't make any sense for them to not give us some type of compensation that would work for us. It just wouldn't make any sense.
How hard did you and Beeston consider or discuss the possibility of just saying no to Farrell?
Well, again, it was all going to come down to what was the return going to be, and I think ultimately we just would have told John what it was. But I mean, we never got to that point. It never needed to come to that point because obviously the negotiations were going in a way that it looked like it was progressing to the point that something was going to get done.
But I would say to you, Alex, that if you thought John Farrell was the manager of the future and thought he had a big upside as your manager long term, you don't even contemplate this deal. You simply say no.
You know what? I don't agree because ultimately if the manager tells you that he wants to pursue a job with another club and it's his dream job and it's the one opportunity to pursue it and it's the only city and the only club, I think all that other stuff gets thrown right out the window.
Does this change anything in when you hire a new manager in terms of the structure of a deal that so you don't run into this situation again? Because I assume the one thing that I think you'll acknowledge is that you don't want to be perceived as a place that's simply – a team that's a stopping place on the way to somewhere else.
Sure. I think what happened here was a really unique chain of events. I don't think anyone would have expected Terry Francona to be let go or leave or not be renewed after 2011, especially when that team was 40 games over 500 at one point in August. I don't think anybody would have foreseen that, and John had only been here a year. And then you have the changes in the general manager, and you had to have a perfect storm of events where the general manager that replaced Theo Epstein ended up being someone who was there and had very close ties to John Farrell. The AGM had worked with John Farrell for a long time. There was familiarity with everybody there. Obviously, John had been there for a long time. And I don't think with all the years that Terry Francona had been there and with the way that team was positioned, I don't think anyone expected that to happen. So if that does not happen, I don't think we're sitting here today talking about any of this. So it's really tough to take this event as more than a unique set of circumstances that I doubt would ever occur again.
You said that you're confident that the Red Sox didn't tamper with John Farrell, but I saw you quoted on the weekend, I think, saying you were disappointed in some ways with the way in which they pursued him. Is that accurate?
No, I didn't. I said I was disappointed with all the things that came out, all the false information that was coming out from a media standpoint. And everyone asked me, you know, obviously they tried to link it to say, well, are you pointing to the team? And I said, no. We've had great discussions. I have a world of respect for the general manager, Ben Sherrington. I don't know him well, but I feel, you know, I think he carries himself and he handles himself extremely well. And I know Paul has tremendous relationships and respect for the ownership group with the Red Sox. That being said, like Paul always says, once one person knows about something, it's not a secret anymore. And ultimately, with so many parties involved and so much information out there, I think, like I had said, there could be gamesmanship. There could be ways to try to impact negotiations. But, you know, you don't know where that ultimately comes from. So,
well, but somebody in the Boston Red Sox organization leaked the story. I mean, I think it's that there's no other answer for it. If you didn't do it, they did.
Well, you know what? I don't know. I mean, there could be, again, there's a lot of different moving parts. It's not just the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays. There's a lot of other parties involved in this whole thing. So you know, to sit here and try to speculate. I think what, you know, Paul and I were upset about is the fact that this did leak Saturday night. And again, the deal was not done. You know, John was finalizing his contract, but, you know, we didn't like the fact that it wasn't fair to our media that, you know, it leaked out Saturday night, and ultimately this was supposed to be done collectively on Sunday. Because,
well, but it even leaked earlier than that, Alex. We were talking about it last Thursday. We had the report up from the Boston Globe, as everybody
not that
did.
The deal was done, though. I think
no,
that was,
I grant
yes.
you. I grant
that,
you.
That was the issue, and the deal was not done because the next morning we still had to get our trainers involved and review the files and the doctors and the, all the information there. You know, Paul had to talk to the commissioner in the morning to get approval to be able to announce this deal. And, but once the players had passed, you know, so, and we hadn't even talked to the players. I mean, there was still a lot of steps left to do in this deal. And that was the most disheartening thing because we didn't even see it coming at all. It was late. It was probably 11:45 at night when all of a sudden the whole thing broke. And that was the part that we just didn't feel was fair to our press.
Well, it's an interesting turn of events and scenario, and that will be much discussed and debated over the course of this offseason. I don't doubt we'll have an opportunity to talk more about it. If not in the immediate future, then when you get closer to finding a replacement for Mr. Farrell. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Alex Anthopoulos, General Manager, VP Baseball, Toronto Blue Jays.